I'm not used to being live streamed. Every time I seem to preach, it's like Scott's, every time he's preached a sermon, it was never streamed either. That's what I was told either. Now it's happening to me, conveniently, yes. But anyway, I'm Jimmy, and I serve here as our youth pastor. And if you have been with us for some time, you know we've been working through a few sermon series, walking us through our vision statement. And so don't put it up there yet, Jeremy, but I just feel like pop quizzing you guys. What is our vision statement here at Journey Church? Who knows? You can tell I'm a youth pastor because I do pop quizzes. There you go. That when we're asked, what is Journey Church about? Okay, you're asked, what, you guys go to Journey Church? What, how, you know, tell us about Journey Church. Like, you can come up with 50 different things maybe to say about Journey Church, but it would be great if we all had the same script, if we all had the same one thing to say that's consistent and says, you know what, we're Journey Church, we like to be about being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. Okay, I'm a bartender over at Sidetrack, which means later today I'm going to be working the bar top. And when I get to the bar, everyone knows that I'm coming from Journey Church. And I always get asked, how was church today? How was church today? How was church today? And I was like, oh, it was great. We're all about being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus and doing what Jesus did. It's nice to be able to just say that. And it's not just nice to be able to say that. Do you know how important it is for us to have a target? The same target, that we can't lose sight of this. Like, this is our aim and this is our goal. And if we always put that on the forefront of our minds, it would help us arrive to the place that we want to arrive to. So that's why we have this vision statement. That's why we're spending all this time teaching from God's word about this vision statement. So we had a series on being with Jesus. We had a series on becoming like Jesus. And right now we're in this series about doing the things that Jesus did. And I just kind of want to recap a little bit of the stuff that we've covered. If you want to put the core values on there, here's why Journey Church has core values. Now, I would not say it is fair for all of us to memorize what are the core values of Journey Church. If I ever did a pop quiz and I was just like, hey, Kurt, what are the 5 core values of Journey Church? All right, I don't expect any one person to maybe memorize all of our core values, right? Just memorize the vision statement. That would be great. But our core values are important for this particular series because this is what you need to know about core values. Doing what Jesus did, is this a question of behavior? Yes. Yes. We want to be having the same behavior that Jesus had, doing the things that Jesus did. Well, here's what you need to know about behavior. Behavior derives itself from what you value. Okay, or if I reverse that, what you value is expressed through how you behave. Okay, case in point, if you have a value for wrestling, as our man here Evan does, okay, that behavior is going to express itself probably in lifting weights and training and going to practice. All right, we have many musical artists here. You guys have a value for the music arts. Is that just, you know, happen overnight, or does that take time practicing with your instrument, you know, practicing with other members? That behavior comes from what you value. And last one, I mean, let's just say you had, just randomly, a value for sports cars. That behavior might show itself in buying yourself a yellow Corvette. See, everything, your behavior comes from what you value. So here at Journey Church, these are the types of behavior we want people at Journey Church to exhibit. And we hope that we've done our work right, that these are the same values that Jesus had, so that we follow in step with the things that Jesus did. Does that make sense where I'm coming from? Values, behaviors? Good. I got sick this week when I wrote this sermon, so I'm not sure what's going to make sense. But I just want to visit here real quickly all 5 of them. In gospel centrality, okay, I think of all the core values that we have up here, this one has to come first. Whatever order the other ones come in, they come in. But this one sequence matters. This one has to be first. And I do like how Apostle Paul, I don't have this verse up there to show you, but this is what Apostle Paul wrote when it comes to the gospel. He says, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. And what was that? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Like, if we're going to get anything right, if we're going to get anything ingrained in us, it has to be the gospel. So if we have this value, okay, if our value is gospel centrality, the behavior, I think, is clicking the refresh button on the gospel in your heart. Okay, we all have computers, right? You all use internet browsers. You hit that refresh button to reload the internet page, and you hit that refresh button, you hit that refresh button, you hit that refresh button. We need to constantly be hitting the refresh button on the gospel. Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for you. And that wasn't just good news back when you were saved. It wasn't just good news yesterday. It's good news today. It's good news tomorrow. It's good news next week. It's good news next year. We cannot lose sight that the gospel is for us every day. It's got to be first. It's got to be first. Authentic community. I love that Jesus has this value of authenticity. The Scriptures are just so brutally honest. Like, Jesus, does he get hungry? Does he get tired? Right? Absolutely. And we get to see that, you know? Has anyone been bossed around by their mom? Right? Guess who also got bossed around by his mom, right? Make this water into wine. There you go. All right, mom, you got it. You know, he's been lied to. He's been lied about. He's been betrayed. All right, Jesus has gone through so much of the same things that you and I go through. And I love this verse from Hebrews. It says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." You think if there was anyone that you can trust with whatever you've gone through, you've been cheated on, you've been lied to, you've been betrayed, okay, you've been mocked. I mean, all these things Jesus has himself experienced. The Word of God, this is what Mark walked us through last week, and I cannot believe that Mark used the four-letter word in service. It's just unbelievable. Using the word authority, he used that word in church. So the Word of God has authority, and he's right. We don't like this word. The only people who like the word authority are the ones who are in authority. And yet, if this truly is the inspired Word of God, and he is God, then yeah, his words do have weight. And Jesus does say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" It's a good question. But aside from just having authority, I think that the Word of God, it's a question of influence. It's a question of influence. And this is a question that Mark has opened us up to several times since our series on Genesis. There's two questions that are asked in the garden. One of them is, "Where are you?" And what's that second question? Who have you been listening to? See, the Word of God, we have this value up here, guys, because who is in your head? Who have you been listening to? There is words and ideas fluttering all around you in social media, on billboards, in the workplace, everywhere. But who are you listening to? I don't think it's just a question of authority, guys. I think the Word of God is important because who you are listening to is going to have an impact on you. That's just plain and simple. Next week, John is going to be teaching us through Seeking the Good of the City. And I don't have much to say because he's writing it, not me. But I do know he did give me a little bit of a sneak preview peek. But it will be about having an awareness. Okay, this is the key word you guys need to have. It's having an awareness of the needs of the individuals and groups that you have influence over. God had a heart for the city. We have a heart for the city. I mean, so much of what Jesus is 33 years, right, was ministering to others. And I love that we have Widow's Harvest, we have Room in the Inn, that these are things that we here at Journey Church that we do. Now today, I'm going to be walking us through transformational discipleship, which, oh my gosh, is a broad and massive topic. Believe it or not, they do five-year master's degrees on discipleship. And you know how I know that? Because my master's degree is on discipleship. And I'm not going to unpack and unload 5 years of seminary discipleship here. So I do have to be picky and choosy with what I'm going to share with you guys today. But one of the ideas that I would tell you about transformational discipleship, okay, is that it's already happening in some way, in some shape. All of you guys are constantly transforming. And you know that this is true because, again, here's some pop quizzes here. You know, Jake, I see you back there. Jake, are you the same person you were in high school? No, absolutely not, right? Were you the same person when you were in college, right? You're not the same person today, right? There's so many times, like, we have our cell phones. Do you guys ever get, like, woken up to, like, your iPhone is, like, showing you pictures from, like, 10 years ago or, like, 5 years ago, like, this vacation, this trip, and you're like, man, I don't remember having that much gray in my beard back then, but, you know, it's weird. You look at these pictures, and it's like hopping in a time machine. Like, I don't even know who those people are anymore. That's because you and I are constantly changing. Cannot help this. This is happening all the time, everywhere, to everyone. So we talk about transformational discipleship. It's already happening. It's just a matter of, again, who are you listening to? Who is shaping you? And who are you becoming? So there's a verse that I would like to point you to. This is going to come from Romans 12, if you do have a Bible. Romans 12:2. And let me tell you how the Bible puts this into what I'm talking about. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." Okay? The way that the Bible puts it is that you are constantly being conformed. You and I are always in a state of being conformed. Now the question is, what does conform mean? Conform means same stuff, same substance, same stuff, but it's forced to fit a mold. The world that you and I live in, okay, the world is constantly trying to shape you and mold you into its image. Same stuff. We're not doing anything. It's just taking the same stuff and rearranging it to fit its agenda, its mold, its values, what it wants. And this is, even though you give your life to Christ, we're still in this world. We're still here, and we're still susceptible to the conforming. And I know that you guys know this. I'm not telling you something that you probably don't already know, but we don't always realize it's happening. Are there any people who watch The Office? Just curious. Office is just one of my favorite shows. You guys remember one of the pranks that Jim does to Dwight is he moves his desk like a quarter of an inch. And he moves his desk again, a quarter of an inch. Every day, just moves the desk just a little bit, closer and closer through him. And Dwight doesn't know it's happening. It's so gradual. He can't realize what's happening to him. Guys, the world is trying to move the desk on you. If it can conform you a little bit today, conform you a little bit tomorrow, that's the play. That's the game that we're in. Transformation's happening all the time. It's just a matter of who are you listening to. So we're always conforming. Who are you listening to? Who's in your head? And that's the question. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You don't need conformation. You need transformation. So again, confirmation is the same old stuff, rearranged. Transformation, this is something else. This is something entirely different. And this is the message of the Bible. It says you don't need to keep having a heart of stone. The Old Testament says, I will take that heart of stone and what? And give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you. See, the teachings of the Bible is you don't need a fix. All right, you need to be made new. And this is how the Bible says it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Guys, you and I, we live in this world of self-help. Self-help. You figure it out, right? You fix yourself. Did you know you can go on YouTube and pretty much figure out anything, anything. If you need to know how to tie a tie, and you don't know how to tie a tie, guess what? Go on YouTube. Find out how to tie a tie. If you don't know how to do an oil change on your car, you can go on YouTube and do an oil change on your car. You can probably teach yourself how to play guitar. You can learn everything in the world through the internet these days. It's all about fix yourself, help yourself. But the one thing that we cannot change, okay, is the corrupt nature of the human soul. Okay? We can't fix that. We're not meant to fix that. It needs to be made new. And it's so interesting. I had no idea I was going to have this conversation with one of our sisters and brothers here at church today, but we were talking about just health. We were talking about health, and we were talking about the health care that we've been receiving. And it's so interesting that even in our own health care, okay, it's only symptomatic help that you get. If you have this sickness, we have this pill. Right? If you're going through this disease, well, we have this pill, okay? Versus what's causing this? What's the source of the problem, right? Why don't we fix the source? Why don't we do preventative care? Why don't we fix what's the cause instead of just treating the symptom? And that's just the world that we're in. We're not focusing on what's the root problem and what's the root cause, and that would be what's down in here. That's the corruptness in our hearts. You and I, we need to be made a new creation. That's what needs to get fixed. So how do we start? And again, man, there's 5 years of seminary. I mean, I could stand up here and say, hey, read your Bible more. Hey, I think you should pray more, right? I mean, are all those things going to, you know, change your heart? Are all those things going to renew your mind? Are all those things going to help you become more like Jesus? Probably. But this is what I would tell you. If you're going to walk away with anything I'm going to say today, and I know I'm scatterbrained today, all right, is you need to make a decision, guys. It really comes down to a hard choice. You have to choose a relationship with God. And you have to choose it again. And you got to choose it again. All right, I know not everyone in the room is married, but the best analogy to this is the analogy that Scripture uses, is the analogy of marriage. And I teach this in my premarital counseling, okay? But marriage, it's not that you're making a commitment to this person on the altar today, right? It's what it is. You know what marriage is? It's making a commitment to the person they're gonna be in the future, because they're gonna change, and you're gonna change. The question is gonna be, will you remain faithful? Will you remain committed to this person in the future? That's the beauty of marriage. Like, if a couple really understood that, really bought into that, you know what? There's nothing that you can do that's going to turn my love away from you. I will stay committed to you. I will always be faithful to you, now and in the future. And this is what I mean by choose a relationship with God. God makes the same covenant with you. He says, look, you are constantly transforming. You're constantly going to be different. I will be committed to you now, and I'll be committed to you in the future. You and I, guys, again, this is gospel centrality. I don't know if you guys figure this out. All these core values are going to intermingle. There's just no way you can have one without all the rest. Gospel centrality is what we're talking about. You choose this relationship with God, you are clicking the refresh button in your heart on the gospel. Gospel, 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 gospel. You cannot have transformational discipleship without relationship. You must have relationship. There are two questions that kind of relationship kind of answers. And these are questions, by the way, I love asking these. Regardless if someone's a Christian or not, regardless of ethnicity or nationality or whatever, you just got to be a human being. All human beings ask these same two questions, by the way. Who am I? And what's my direction or what's my purpose? Regardless, again, I mean, you don't, whatever you do, wherever you came from, whatever your upbringing, it does not matter. Every human being is asking these two questions. Every human being is in search for the answers to these two questions. That's who am I and what's my purpose? And when you choose a relationship with God, these get answered. And I don't think, and they get answered in the best possible way, because you and I, if it's true that God is real and it's true He is the Creator and He created you and me, then He created you and I for relationship with Him. Who am I? Who am I? What's my purpose and direction? There are many verses that I could share. I want to read this verse. Who am I? What's my purpose? 1 John 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called what? Children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. So much to say about this verse. But the one thing I want to highlight, guys, is who are you? Who are you? You are a child of God. That is your identity. Identity is inherently built into your worth and in your value. So many struggle. They go, man, if I'm just successful at my job, then I'll really have worth. All right, if I'm just a great parent and I have these well-behaving kids all the time, it makes me feel good about myself. That makes me worthy. If I can just be a preacher who gives a good sermon on a Sunday, man, that makes me feel good. That makes me a worthy person. Guys, we are all in this rat race of trying to find worth from someone or something. This is why peer pressure works so much with our middle schoolers, our high schoolers, our elementary. We're all just trying to find worth. Who am I? You are a child of God. You are so near and dear to God's heart, so much so that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. See with what love, what kind of love the Father has for you. Guys, transformational discipleship. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't make it mold you. Don't let it put its hands on you and start shaping you. Be transformed by choosing a relationship with Him. And if you have chosen a relationship with Him, then you choose it again. And tomorrow you choose it again. And next week you choose it again. And we're constantly committing ourselves to the Father who loves us. And there's one last relationship that this is really hugely important. And really hear me out here, guys, because I think this one's going to be key too. It's going to be relationships with each other. All right? The church isn't here by accident. We don't just do this just to do this. Guys, there is a sleeping power in our midst here. And you're it. You're absolutely it. Let me tell it to you like this. So this year I've joined a cohort group of other pastors. It's me and 11 other guys. 12 guys, great number. And they bring in these great trainers and speakers, and I'm getting this really great teaching, and I'm really growing and learning a lot. I'm really glad that I get to be a part of this cohort group. One of the guys that they brought in, his name's Doug Franklin. He's been doing youth ministry for, I think, over four decades. And this guy's super brilliant when it comes to youth ministry. And this is what one of the things that just blew me away with what he said. He said, if you really want to grow your capacity for opportunity in youth ministry, here's what you need to do. You need to connect each student with one other adult. And it has to, he calls it a second level relationship. And just break it down for you. There are types of relationships, okay, where it's just face and facts. This is what he says, face and facts, okay? I know Melinda. I know what Melinda looks like, and I know Melinda's name. That's it, you know? A level two relationship would be, man, I know John's story. I know John's opened himself up to me. I know where he wasn't with Christ, how he found Christ, what Christ has done in his life. A second level relationship, you let them in on your feelings, all right? You let them in on real, we call it real talk, okay? Now, I'm not saying, don't hear me wrong, I'm not saying that you guys should open up to just anybody. I'm not saying that I should connect just any student to just any adult. It's not what I'm saying. There's got to be some trust. There's got to be some rapport. I got to know if this is a person that I should have a second level with. But Doug Franklin, I think, is right. He said the students that really grew in their faith were the students who were connected with at least one other adult, not the youth pastor, by the way. One other adult who really knew them beyond just Eben, senior. That's all they know. Yeah, Rafi, student at CCA. We're talking about you make a relationship with somebody that goes beyond just the face and the facts. You get into their feels, their troubles. You get into their story. This is one of the things. So I didn't mean to talk about this, but John reached out to me 2 weeks ago or so, and he said, hey, I just want to take you out to coffee. I just want to hear your story. That's what John did. And we sat down at Starbucks, and I gave him like a 2-hour story on me. And it felt really good because John took the time to see me, to hear me, invest in me, really wanted to get to know me. Guys, there is a sleeping giant here at Journey Church. You guys want transformation? I know for the introverts in this room, what I'm asking is the impossible. I know. You got, make at least one second level friendship here, will you? Find at least one person here at Journey Church that you can go out to coffee and say, hey, Ken, I want to hear your story. Latisse, I want to hear your story. Tony, I want to know your story. Can we do that? That's the challenge I want to give you guys. Make some second level relationships, and I think that would be absolutely transforming. I want to close our time here by just giving an invitation, guys. I'm going to ask Mark to kind of be here on the left, and I'll be here on the right. And the band, if you guys want to start coming up. But during this time, what I want to do right now is, if you are feeling stuck, is the best word I can think of. Stuck in the same stuff, you're just being shaped into the mold. And I'm talking about if you are stuck in some kind of addiction, there's some kind of problem, there's some kind of stress, there's just something that's been bothering you, you just can't seem to get over it. Would you come up to either to Mark or myself, and would you just let us pray for you? All right? I promise Mark and I, we're not going to be tweeting this. No one's going to know your business, I promise. But if there is something that you need to confess, there's just something that you're stuck in, would you just come up and would you just let us pray for you is the favor that I would ask for you guys. Close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, you want to transform us, and I know that you are shaping us to be your children and you are giving us a heart of flesh And yet the world will not stop in this battle and in this war to conform us, to forcibly put its hands on us and forcibly shape us to be versions of ourselves that we are not happy with. Lord, we want to be the version of ourselves that's the best version of ourselves, which comes from you. I pray that if there's anyone in this room who has not yet chosen a relationship with you, that they would take this time, Lord, this time to come up and choose that relationship today. And if there are those in this room who need to recommit themselves to you, Lord, may they come forward. If there's anybody who's stuck in addiction, Lord, if that's porn addiction, if that's they're stuck in their anger, I wish I wasn't so angry. I wish I wasn't I had so much of a short fuse. I wish I wasn't so impatient with my kids. Lord, whatever we are stuck in, this is what the church is for. We lay hands and we pray for each other. There is a sleeping giant here at Journey Church, and you will work through all the men and women at this church, Lord. We will minister to one another, and we will peer disciple each other, Lord. We will hear each other's stories, and we will help where we can. I pray for this time now, Lord, that we would give you the glory, that you would heal us and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.